Well, good morning. As was mentioned in the announcements, there's a barbie on at our house straight after the service. If you're a visitor, we'd love to see you there. You probably don't know where our house is. Just ask anyone else here. Chances are they will. So let me start with prayer. Let's pray. Gracious God, we know because of our sin that we are a people who do not deserve your forgiveness or your grace, but how we praise you that you are a God of love. Lord, we thank you for Jesus who died so that we may be forgiven and welcomed home to you, so that we are no longer your enemies, but adopted into your family as children. We also praise you that you are a God who did not remain silent, but have spoken to us through your word. So please help us this morning to own these wonderful truths, and we just praise you for this opportunity and this time together. And we give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, for those of you who were too old to be at Kids Club this week, you guys have been missing out. Because this week, the kids went on an epic journey. They went on a polar expedition. And what better place to go on one than Canberra, where no one needs an excuse to wear a beanie. And as with any journey, the expedition team discovered that there were some twists and turns along the way. And as they came to each one of those twists and turns, they all learnt something about themselves and about one another. They learnt everyone has different abilities, different things to offer, and of course, everyone makes mistakes. And I think it's fair to say that life is like that. It's often said that life is like one big journey. From the moment we're born, our journey begins. And the thing about being on a journey is it's so easy to just lose our way and become lost. And this is something that I learnt when I moved to Canberra. You see, up in Sydney, the streets tend to be in grids, which means if you want to get to somewhere north, then you turn onto a street that heads north and eventually you should be able to get there. But that's not how it always works in Canberra. Because down here there's this horrible thing called loop roads. You know, I remember the first time that someone mentioned one, I thought, what on earth is a loop road? You know, it sounds like one of those spiral ramps I used to destroy matchbox cars on as a kid. And so if you want to get to somewhere north in Canberra, you can't just assume that turning north will get you there. Because that street which began north and might start to arc east or west, and all of a sudden you realise I'm not where I'm supposed to be. And our journey through life can be like that. We can often find it hard to navigate and to make sense of our situation. You know, we might get out of bed one day and ask, how did I end up here? How did my life end up here? We may have done something wrong, or something may have been done to us, or maybe nothing really happened at all. But when we look at where we're at, we have this horrible feeling and think, this isn't where I wanted to be. How did I end up like this? Man, I just feel so lost. It's a horrible feeling, isn't it? You know, I'm sure many of us have been there. Some of us may be there right now. Well, in our Bible reading this morning, we read the story of a young man who also went on a journey. And when he did that, you'll never guess what happened. He became lost. And the reason why I wanted us to consider his story this morning is not just because of the theme of journey and making mistakes and becoming lost coincides with Kids Club, But by looking at his journey, hopefully it can help us with ours. In other words, as we ourselves journey through life, hopefully it can help us to not become lost. And even if we do lose our way, then hopefully it will help us to find it. The Bible says it is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And so that is how we should see this story. It's something to guide us. And we're going to begin by looking at the young son to help us understand first just what it means to be lost. Well, when you read what the young son did in this story, it's easy to get a little angry because you can't help but ask, how could anyone do that to their own father? For the only thing his son says to him before he walks out is give me my share of the estate. I mean, how could he say that? That's his dad. That's his father who raised him, who loved him, who still loves him. And like today, estates weren't given until a parent's death. And so when he said, give me my share of the estate, he was effectively saying, Dad, you are dead to me. Your money is worth more to me than you are, so just hand it over and I'll be on my way. So let me ask the parents here this morning, can you imagine how hearing those words from your child would make you feel? After everything you've done for them. You know, some of you may have heard something similar from your child, and if you have, then you would know exactly what it feels like for the father in this story. Hearing those words would be so hard to hear. And what made it even worse back then was the father's wealth was in his land, which meant dividing the estate required selling at least some of it. And tied to that land was his father's identity. You know, it was the very essence of who he was. His land was the land that God gave him. It was the land that his father raised him on and his father before him. And so selling the land, it didn't just mean losing his son. It had been losing part of himself. And yet his son still took it. He took it so that he could squander it on wild living. How on earth could he do that? Friends, he could only do that if he were lost. You see, when we read this story, we tend to think that the son becomes lost once he's way off in a distant country. But I'd suggest he was already lost at the beginning. Otherwise, how on earth could he do that to his father and leave? Jesus wants us to see how the son treated his father. He wants us to see how much the son disowned him, how much he dishonored him, how much he disregarded him, and how much he disrespected him. Jesus wants us to see all that and to feel outraged. And why does he want us to see and feel that? Because that's what we do when we walk away from God. And how do I know that Jesus wants us to see that? Because he said the story as a parable, which means the whole reason he said it was to show us something about ourselves. And what he wants to show us is that we have a tendency to become lost because we have a tendency to walk away from God. You know, God made you and loves you just like a father loves his child. And he did that, and he does that so that you'd stay in a relationship with him. Which means if you think that you can just walk away from him to live however you want, then you are not where you are supposed to be, which is the textbook definition of lost. For the young son in this story, being lost meant wanting to be apart from his father. Which means for us, it's wanting to be apart from God. Well, at the start of verse 17, when the son had lost everything, we're told he came to his senses. And that's not an easy thing to do, is it? It's never easy acknowledging you're lost. But it's something you must do in order to be found. In verse 14, he'd spent all of his father's money, and to top it off, severe famine struck, which meant that he began to be in need. And so he hired himself out to feed pigs, which was a job that not only smelt horrendous, but wasn't allowed. And it wasn't allowed because he was Jewish, which meant he wasn't allowed to go anywhere near pigs. But verse 16 says he was so hungry that he longed to fill his stomach with what the pigs were eating. But no one gave him anything. And so this is the first century equivalent of hitting rock bottom. You know, by the time he gets to verse 16, the young son is now at the lowest of the low. And yet it wasn't until he was there, it wasn't until he got to the point where he found himself knee deep in mud, covered in the filth of pigs, that he finally realized he was lost. And those moments are never easy. Moments when the reality of living apart from God is exposed for what it is. Moments when we are forced to accept we've reaped what we've sowed from being lost in sin. And even though those moments are never comfortable, they're often necessary because they're often what it takes to bring us back to God. I remember the story of a young Christian engaged to be married who had to delay her wedding for a year because her fiancé's work took him abroad. And during the year that they were apart, she started to develop feelings for another guy at work. And eventually those feelings got to the point where she even started to stay over at his house. And every time she did, she would say to herself, "This will be the last time." But of course it never was. And so the affair continued. At least it did until it was discovered by another friend. And no one wants that, right? I mean, none of us ever want to be confronted by the consequences of being lost in a particular sin. But the reality is, because we have a tendency to become lost, that's often what it takes for it to end. You know, those painful moments are often what it takes for us to realize we were lost and to come to our senses and to turn back to God. Just like the young son, it's like we needed to have our own moment in the mud. And even though those moments are so painful, it may feel like we're under the curse of God, but we are actually under the mercy of God, because otherwise we wouldn't stop doing what we're doing, and so we just keep on hurting ourselves and hurting everyone else. When the affair of the young woman was eventually discovered, as you can imagine, it was a very painful moment. But it led her to confess her sin to her fiancé. And as painful as that was, they worked through it together, and over time, eventually, They were married. Praise God. Friends, when we're lost in a particular sin, God often brings difficult circumstances into our lives to show us just how lost we are. Because oftentimes we just can't see it, or we refuse to see it ourselves. For the young man, it was the famine. For the young woman, it was getting caught. And even though both situations were very painful, both of them led them to run back towards God. So if you ever find yourself becoming lost in a particular sin, let me encourage you to not let it get to that point. Bring it before God in prayer, and if you have to, confess it to someone you trust so that they can help you work through it together. Now, every one of us struggles with sin. I preach this to myself before anyone else. It's never a case of if, but what? But if it does get to the point where God brings you your own moment in the mud, because it can be so painful, it can be tempting to run even further, not run, back to God. But if that's what you're tempted to do, can I encourage you, don't. Because Jesus is telling you that God is like the Father in this story, which means you just don't have to run anymore. And even though God wants you to stop running, that doesn't necessarily make turning back to Him seem any easier, does it? And we can see how hard it is for the young son. Because he knows better than anyone everything he did to his father. And because it's so hard, he starts thinking about what he'll say in the middle of verse 18. He starts rehearsing, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants." And then he got up and went to his father. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And so he ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. And if the father saw him while he was still, as we're told, a long way off, what does that tell you the father has been doing? He's been looking out for him. You know, I bet not a day went by when the father didn't look up to the horizon, hoping his son would come home. And even though back then it was considered shameful for mature age men to run, and even though his son had broken his heart when he'd left and was probably covered in pig manure upon his return, the father didn't care. All he wanted to do was to have his boy back in his arms, and so he ran to him and he kissed him. And when his boy began to say everything he'd already rehearsed back in the mud, his father, he doesn't even let him finish his sentence. Instead, he says, "Dress him in the finest robe. Put a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet, kill the fattened calf. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost, but now he's found." Friends, you may have come here this morning feeling a bit like the son who was lost, consumed with guilt because of something you've done wrong. And because of that, you feel very distant from God, which is another way of saying you feel lost. But if that is you, then here's the good news. God loves you the same way the father loved his son in this story, which means it doesn't matter how much you may have messed up your life before or how great your sins are or how far you've run away from him. He is looking up at the horizon every day, just dying, hoping for you to come home to him. In fact, he did die so that you would come home to him. And if you doubt that God could be so loving and so forgiving and so amazing as the Father in this story, then just look at what happened to the one who told it, Jesus. The one who, not long after he told this story, would be lifted up on a cross to say to you and to the world, it doesn't matter who you are or what you have done. Look at how great is my Father's love. So come home to him. You know, the cross is what drives every theme that we have looked at this week at Kids Club. We are never too bad, never too far, never too ordinary, never too many mistakes. In your journey through life, you can take it from me. You will make a lot of mistakes. And so if you ever find yourself in the mud or lost, having run from God, the remedy is always the same. It's remember the Father's love. Let's pray. Dear loving Father, how we praise you for the amazing God that you are. That because of Jesus, you do not approach us with anger, but with love. Lord, we thank you that we don't have to pretend, that we don't have to pretend that we've got it all together, that we can be honest about our sin and the times that we've been lost. And we ask, Lord, that if there is anyone here this morning who has run from you, please help them to know that there is more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents, over one sinner who makes the decision to run back to you, than 99 people who don't see why they should. And we ask that you would help them. Help all of us to be in awe of your forgiveness and of your love. And we ask this and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.